I think I'm going to pick it up in Exodus 26, verse number 25. And I went over a little bit. I think last time we talked about the boards of this tabernacle. Now, I want to remind you before I read this verse that this tabernacle can be a type of Christ. It can be a type of a Christian. And it can be a type of creation. I mean, the Lord covers a lot of ground. And before I read a couple of these verses to you and give you a good practical, I like, the Bible said all these things were written for our learning, that we can have patience and comfort through the Scriptures. But you don't have to turn there, but I want to show you this. In 2 Corinthians 5:4, the Bible says, "For we that are in this tabernacle..." All right, he's calling our body a tabernacle. So we can see types of things that apply to us because our body's called a tabernacle, so we can see some pictures in the Bible that can apply to us. He says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we could be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Now, here's an interesting thing before I get talking about these sockets. You had an earthly tabernacle and a heavenly tabernacle. You know what? Your body, you got an earthly tabernacle. You walk around that now. But you got a heavenly tabernacle you'll get later. Now, ain't that a blessing? Now, that earthly tabernacle had some wonderful things in there, but it was a picture of something even better.
Amen.
Now, don't y'all have some joy in this body you got? I have some joy. I enjoy a lot of things. I enjoy fellowship with the brethren. I enjoy fellowship with my wife and children. I enjoy working with my hands. But if you can enjoy that much on this side, you multiply that times a million or more than that. More than what your mind can imagine. And don't you know that that heavenly tabernacle is going to be wonderful? Wonderful. Now, I like to remind you that one, because the Bible says you groan in Romans chapter 8 for that new body. It said the whole creation's groaning for the coming of the Lord. You groan. Why? Because you know you're supposed to be eternal. Why else does your fingernail grow back? You're supposed to be sticking around for a long time. You break one, it grows right back. You cut your hair, it grows right back. Cut your beard, it goes right back. Why? Because there's eternal aspects that is supposed to keep going and going and going. Now, you're going to have a tabernacle one of these days that does not wear down. It don't have the curse on it. That's a blessing right there. Now, the Bible says in Exodus 26, verse number 25, it says, "And they shall be 8 boards and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board." Now, the way this tabernacle was built, it had to have some sockets to hold things together. Now, I want to give you a definition I got out of Webster's Dictionary of a socket. It says, "Any hollow thing or place which receives and holds something else." A socket holds something. It says, "As the sockets of the teeth or of the eyes, his eyeballs and their hollow sockets sink." You know, he gives you, for instance. So what you have is you got sockets like your eye sockets, but you got 4 sockets. I've got sockets underneath my shoulders. I've got hip sockets. All right. And then you've got a thing called an electrical socket. Why? Because it holds the plug in. Now, we can apply this because our body is like a tabernacle. And you can see instances here of how we can apply this to our daily life. You think about a little thing like a socket. That's why you have to pay attention to every little word in the Bible. I was going to go into this just to show you how you ought to study every word of the Bible. Because it has meaning. Now, you think about sockets holding things. We've got 2 pairs of sockets in the body, and they can cause pain if you injure them. Mm-hmm. Now you think about, you're supposed to be holding something. We're like these sockets. Because we're part, well, I've got my own individual body, but we're called the body of Christ. And you know what? We're supposed to be unified. The Bible talks about in faith. It don't talk about this worldly unity. It's supposed to be unity in the faith, and you're like sockets, you hold each other together. Okay? So you take this thing right here, like today, I was working in somebody else's building. I plugged my grinder up inside the socket. I took the end of the cord, plugged it in the first socket. Guess what? Give my grinder gas. Tried to get power to it. Nothing. Click, 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 click. I said, what is going on here? I thought something was wrong. I unplugged it from that socket, plugged it up in the socket on the other side of the wall. Wide open as a case knife. Something was wrong with that socket. Now, you know what? If you're like a socket, you hold things. If something's wrong with you and you're not holding things up, loss of power. Loss of power. I'll tell you something. I saw a boy dislocate his shoulder one time. And that old boy's name was Cole Vance. And we played football with him. And I'm going to tell you something. He would knock your head loose. He the only person I knew that could hit him like that and would hit him wide open was my little brother. And man, they would hit just like two bulls. Boom! Just like that right there. You talking about tough. Well, one day he would run up through there, and man, he would just run straight. He'd play running back. He'd run straight up through there. He ran straight up through there like that, and he got hit just right and dislocated his shoulder. Now, his shoulder was down like that right there. Just down. And I'll tell you something. As tough as he was, he couldn't play anymore. Now, you know what? If you not holding up like you're supposed to, you know what that's going to do? It's going to take you out of the game. Amen. The Bible said we're supposed to be fighting a good fight of faith. The Bible said we're supposed to be running a race. The Bible said, I it's kind of like boxing. He said, I don't fight like one that just beat at the air. Why? If your shoulder's out of socket, you're not doing it. These sockets are more important than just what meets the eye. We're like sockets a lot. Our body is kind of like a socket. Okay, these things were important. You just read up and say, well, eight boards and there's sockets of silver and okay. Well, you say, well, sockets of silver. I'll just take you to something right quick before we get into these little simple things. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Tell you, man, this stuff, this Bible, you just take one little old word and you think, well, there ain't much to it. I'm going to tell you something. This is the most fascinating book in the universe.
Amen.
This thing right here, I study it. I'm just scratching this, just scratching around. Let's see so much depth to it. Exodus 30, if you will, look down at verse number 16. The Bible says, and thou shalt take the atonement money. Now watch this, atonement money. This Old Testament, but they had to have atonement money of the children of Israel. And shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. Alright, atonement money. Now, you think, well, what's that go with? Now turn to Exodus chapter 38. 38. See, all this stuff goes together. We just read one part of the direction. You got atonement money. Exodus 38, look at verse number 27. It says, and of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets. Look at that. Of the sanctuary. And the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. Those sockets were made out of the atonement money. Now you know what? Your body's like a tabernacle, and you guess what? The Bible says in Romans, you have already received the atonement at one-ment with Jesus Christ. Now you think that isn't something? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about sockets holding something. You're made out of that atonement money. Why? Christ paid the price for you. Like the old saying is, he paid a debt he did not owe because you owed a debt you could not pay.
Amen.
And here we are. You talk about something in that tabernacle so significant that it's made out of the atonement money. In the service of the tabernacle, you're in the service of the body made from the atonement money. Yes. I'll tell you something, man. That's a blessing right there. So you say, well, how can we apply this to us and say, all right, I want to study this tabernacle. How could I apply this thing to my life? All right, sockets were to hold things. They had to put things in those sockets and it held it together. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been able to hold up. You could have all the board, you can have all this pretty stuff, but without the sockets, it wouldn't hold anything. So I want to go through some of our mail today quickly and look at some things we're supposed to hold up. And if you hold in the wrong way, it can mess us up. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, you know one of the worst things going on is people who hold the truth. Look, the Bible is called the truth of God. Jesus is called the truth. The church is called the truth. The Holy Ghost is called the truth. But the church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Those things are called truth. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There are things that we can hold in unrighteousness. So you think about people say, "Well, I can't believe they did so and so at church." It's just as bad to do it anywhere else. Yeah. Why we got to hold things in righteousness instead of unrighteousness? Why that's behaving like the world? If we just take this Bible, I've told you before, I think it bears repeating. A guy said he was at a revival one time preaching, and said he just took his Bible and just wasn't thinking nothing about it, just chunked it. You know, over like that right there, just chunked it on a pew. He said, I think it was a guy from the Philippines came up there and said, "I know you don't mean anything by that, but," he said, "please don't treat the Bible like that." He said, "I know here," he said, "y'all can go buy a Bible anytime you want to," he said, "but where I'm from, it's precious." Well, you know what the Bible teaches? Precious. That word is precious. All over the teaching, over and over and over. You know what we're supposed to do? Hold that thing like it's something special.
Amen.
That Bible is a very, very special thing. And I tell you something, as we get closer and closer to the Lord coming for us, you're going to want to cling to that thing closer and closer. It tells us how to behave and what's going on and how to think and what's going on. I tell you something. Some of these people, I feel so bad for them. They get so worked up over stuff that we're not even supposed to be worked up about. You know what? I wish as I read this Bible, I wish I could teach my flesh to be put down, down, down. Why God is worked up over godly things as I do over all the things going on in the world. Why? Because it's so easily become earthly minded. So we got to hold the truth in righteousness. Why? Because it can cause damage and lack of power. We're like a socket, not holding. Man, if this thing didn't hold my shoulder in right, you're talking about having lack of power. I wouldn't be able to do anything with this shoulder. Man, I mean, if you got a problem with your hip, you're going to end up having to go have a hip replacement, and they got to work on your socket. That stuff's important. Here's another thing. Here's another verse for you. 1 Corinthians 14:30. It says, "If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." When you read that, they're talking about speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And that's not that jibbity, jibbity, jibbity stuff. It's whenever somebody in the early days, before they got the complete revelation, these apostles and things like that, and some of these people, God would give them the ability before the canon was completed. If they didn't know Spanish, He would give them the ability to be able to speak Spanish. They didn't know Greek, He'd give them the ability to be able to speak Greek. That's biblical. But what He's saying in that context is, hey, if a man's over here talking, don't you be talking too. You know one of the biggest things that's going on in this world today, people don't know how to be quiet. And I have to tell my own self, why? When somebody's talking, be quiet and let the other person talk, man. A lot of people don't want to learn nothing. They want to sit there and they can't wait. Instead of listening, you know what they're doing? They're waiting on their chance to speak.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Learn why you lose your power. Why? Because there are people out there, and I've been part of. You get in a conversation, you get rolling, you get rolling, you get rolling. Before long, you can't let anybody else talk because you're doing all the talking.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you something, that you'll lose your power on that wine because it shows a lack of respect if we won't listen to what the other man's saying. We got to get to the place to where, hey, so-and-so's talking, let them talk. Well, I've noticed something about older people. Older people not going, they got all the wisdom, but I've noticed something about them around younger people. They're not going to waste their energy and try to talk over you. So you know what I'm learning? I've missed out on a lot of chances to gain wisdom trying to just yap. Man, I'll tell you something, man. Especially this, I'll say me too, because judgment begins. It's supposed to start with us and then go out. But this younger generation needs to learn how to just be quiet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? You lose your power. You can gain a whole lot more knowledge on a subject letting somebody who actually knows what they're talking about talk a little bit. Well, I'm going to tell you, that right there is a very important holding, being a socket. You know what? Holding somebody's, holding up for somebody else while they're talking. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good principle to hold up. And I just went through some of these verses and looked up, okay, if I'm going to be a socket, what does Paul say I need to hold up? Alright, it holds things. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, and here's another one, and that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You think that ain't good? You think that people aren't? Now I wonder how many Christians are being good sockets. Do you know it's real hard to witness to somebody. Whenever you talk to them, you say, well, so and so goes to that church or lazy, I don't know what, and I don't want to go be around them. That's rough, man. Because what you don't, then you don't have a, why? Well, I done work for them so-and-so, and they hadn't even paid me for the work I done. That's rough. That's why he says, work with your own hand. Look, I believe a Christian should do, look, there's other people out there that can work way harder than I can. But you know what we're supposed to do? Work as hard as God will give us the grace to do. Why? Well, a Christian's supposed to be known for working. And I'll tell you something else too. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work to actually sit there. You know what? It's work after you put a whole day's work in to come in here and listen a little while. That's work. But that's part of it. And we're supposed to be known for it. I tell you, we're going to be some good sockets. We need to hold that up. And I hope God will give us grace to do it. Why, this younger generation, that's a bad word. They just want people to just hand them money. They want people to work all the time and give them what they've been working for. Well, I tell you something, that don't last but so long. Well, you know, we need, if nothing else, I can't handle what they're doing. Only person I can control is me. And say, look, the whole world may stop working, but if the whole world stops, I want to keep working. Why? Because I'm accountable for me. I'm not going to be accountable for them. But I tell you what, that's a good thing to hold up. Here's another one. Philippians 2:29, receive Him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Now you know what I believe we ought to do is be careful how we treat God's servants. Now I'm not saying this, you know, you've heard them say, you know, the Bible says touch not God's anointed, man, you mess with so and so, he'll burn your house down. Some of these guys like Benny Hinn and all that, they're not servants of God, no way. Why? They're not preaching the Bible. The Bible says call those men. I'm supposed to warn you if I'm doing my job about people who's teaching wrong. But now some of these people that's actually doing God's service, I think people have completely lost that. I can tell you something. You take some of these guys, like we're going to go up there tomorrow and hear somebody. I was recommending my friend, and I was talking to this guy, and he said, I looked on his website, and he wasn't smiling in the picture. I thought to myself, he's not smiling in it. What does that have to do with his preaching? Amen. You see how we're getting to a generation now so offended if somebody's not smiling in the picture. That's not his fault. I thought it was a pretty good picture. But you know what that is? They're looking for an excuse. Yeah. Amen. Just looking for an excuse. Because I tell you something, they turn on one of them sermons, they got them some. Why? Because the Lord used him. Now, I think people ought to be more careful with how they treat people who's serving God. Amen. Who's really serving God. Why? Because they've lost that. Yeah. And I tell you, I was reading this. 2 Thessalonians 1:6, this is our mail. The Apostle Paul said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. Here's some of these people, and they wonder why things are happening. They get in a vehicle, and they have a roast preacher, so to speak. I've heard preachers say that. Man, they get home, man, they run them, and then all that stuff starts happening. That Bible teaches you that that God can recompense trouble to people who mess with it. Look, I know some of y'all have been serving God many years, and somebody comes against something you're doing, and you just pray for them, God, please help them. And all of a sudden, you ain't got to do anything. All of a sudden, stuff starts happening. Now look, I don't want nothing bad to happen to anybody. I really don't. But God's able to take care of things you could never do in ways you couldn't ever do it. Ever do it. I'll tell you something that I've noticed. With some of these people that mess with God's servants, and I know some good godly men that's been serving the Lord, and people come against them. You know what happens to the people who come against them? Something comes loose up here. I tell you, one of the worst things that can happen to somebody is the bolts come loose. When I read my Bible and stuff like this, I've gotten to where I thank God as I'm getting, you know, I'm not old, I know it, but I'm getting old enough to kind of see some things happen.
Amen.
I've seen people just get to where they just lose it. And that's a scary thing for me. Being able to sit right here and have enough mind to say amen. Thank you, Lord. And being able to appreciate, hey, Lord, I get to go home tonight, sleep in a clean bed. God, I get to go home and love, but you know, sit there with my children, put my arm around them, stuff like that. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing.
It is.
And it's a blessing to know you've been blessed.
Amen.
Why? Because a lot of people, they got it made, don't even realize it. That's a bad thing. And I say, if we're going to be good sockets, we ought to hold up and say, hey, so-and-so's having trouble. They're serving God, or she's serving God, or he's, I'm going to pray for them. That's why now some of these guys, they text me, Brother Chase, I'm praying for you. I'll send back prayers going up. If I'm going down the road, I'll start praying for them going down the road. Far be it from me to pray for them, not to pray for them. Because I look, if y'all, one of y'all text me, if we have to, I'll tell Shiloh and them something. Y'all be praying for so-and-so until we can get to the place we can pray. I believe that. I believe we ought to pray for each other.
Yeah.
And I believe it works. And I tell you this, just this week, I believe one day I ought to have a sermon on, just a whole sermon on answered prayer.
Yeah.
I've had me some answered prayer just this week.
Amen.
God's helped me. I tell you what, I was praying today when my grinder caught on fire. Lord help me. But I tell you this, here's another thing. Holding. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells Christians, approve all things, hold fast that which is good. A good socket's going to hold fast that which is good. There's so much bad stuff today. We need to be holding that which is good.
Amen.
And I might get into it here in a little bit on other stuff. I'm amazed at how many people aren't being good sockets about proving things. Check into stuff. You know what I've gotten to where? If I don't know something, somebody tell me something, I say, I'm going to go check into that. Let me read up on it. I'm learning. I don't have to answer things right. People want you, what do you think about? I don't know. Let me go check into it. I don't know a thing about that. I can go check into it and say, I'm supposed to prove that. And the Bible says, prove all things. Amen. Somebody tells you something these days, look here, so many liars out there, and so many people trying to make money off of people. Look, just say, hey, I don't have an idea in this world what that means. I'm going to go study on it. I'll get back with you. And take your time about it, too. It takes a little while to prove some things. You prove some oxen, it takes a little while. The Bible talks about, hey, I got some oxen, I hadn't proved them yet. I'll tell you what, we ought to prove some things. Hold fast that which is good. There's enough bad stuff out there. I'll tell you what, if we're going to be a good socket, we better hold this right here.
Amen.
It's leaving. It's leaving. I was looking on, you can look on Barna Research right now, and the churches that's starting to get back and stuff, less than half capacity still. And they done like surveys and stuff. Lots of people aren't coming back at all. No plans of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, a lot of people, when you say things, you got to clarify. Y'all, there's a lot of people that would love to come that can't come. Mm-hmm. You understand that?
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, for somebody to say, I'm not coming back, when they don't have an excuse and they're not sick and they don't have a loved one that's sick or something like that, that's embarrassing.
Amen.
And I tell you this right here, there's been people meeting all over the world in way more harsh circumstances than what we think we've got around here.
Right.
You know what that tells me? When circumstances really get bad, this thing gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God I serve with some people that love the Lord.
Right.
And y'all, we got some folks, I'm gonna tell you something, through this whole time, the way people give, it's humbling, man. It's humbling. And the way people have stuck together and the way people that we're hanging around here, we're around some people who have really just been supportive and stuff like that. But I tell you, these folks just quitting and these pastors quitting and just getting away, I'm just gonna go get another job because so-and-so, that is unbiblical. You better hold fast that which is good. Why? Church is a good thing. I hate to know a generation. I hate to know that I'd meet outside in a tent before I said, "Well, look, kid, we just ain't gonna go to church some more."
Right.
What the fact that churches going to church and the local body that sends out missionaries and things like that, you know, all these people, "I ain't going to church some more." Well, how are you going to obey the command? Paul said you're supposed to get the gospel to the whole world.
Right.
Well, how are you going to do that through your own house? Okay. No, I hate to know we're not good sockets and we don't hold fast that which is good. I've already got the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're serving the Lord because we love Him. And in our generation, the generation that says, "Hey, there's a generation that don't have faith and all that type of stuff," and that ends up talking about us. Why? There's traditions and things like that we're supposed to hold up. Those things are good.
Right.
And I tell you something, this is a good thing. I want my kids being raised in church.
Yeah.
Well, I want them to know, hey, Mom and Daddy thought it was so important. They would come. If they was able to come, they would come.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you something, I thank God that we're able to keep things going here. It's a blessing. I'm going to tell you this, I don't know what I would... I don't see how people go through things without a church family. And they don't go through it too well. Isn't it nice for them to call and say, "Hey, Sister so-and-so, pray for me. I'm going to send her a text right quick." Isn't that something? Some days, God will put it on somebody's heart and they'll call you and say, "Hey, I'm just thinking about you." In the back of your mind, you're going, "Lord, I know what this is. You're trying to encourage me. I know, Lord." Why? Because your sockets, you're joined together. And I tell you something, sometimes God will just put something on your heart and say, "I want you to call someone." Isn't that nice? I'd hate for that thing to die. We better hold that up. Be some good sockets. Here's another thing here. And I'll just say, I do not want the church to die out on our watch, man. I hope we can keep going, man. Keep all the way through. All the way through. Here's another good thing to hold. 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold, just like a socket, lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, you think of it, lay hold on eternal life. Now, a good socket is keeping his eyes on what's coming, not on what's going on this earth. Why? But you know what it lets me know? Everybody's so worried about losing earthly things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Earthly. Just, look, with so much talk now, and if Sunday, I don't even know if the Lord even let me preach this message. I'm going to preach a message Sunday if the Lord let me. The philosophy of safety. When we were kids, man, we made mud pies, ran around barefoot, got stickers in our feet and stuff like that. You talking about a generation now so safe about everything, living their life in a bubble, man.
That's it. Amen.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. Fight the good fight of faith. Ain't there going to be no fighters left.
Amen.
A fighter's made by hard times. You know why this older generation, I say that, I don't even put myself, 50s, 60s, and 70s and stuff like that, they had to, look, how'd y'all get so tough? You got to be tough to be old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even somebody who's ungodly and they're old, they're tough.
That's right.
Well, you get past 40 years old, you got to be tough, man. Some of these little whippersnappers around today, they can't fight. Why? They're not good sockets.
Right.
Holding forth eternal life. All they think about is here and now.
Yeah.
It's eternal. Y'all, I tell you something. You're being a good socket if you're laying up things It has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. You know what the preacher's supposed to do? Not get y'all ready for what's going to happen if so-and-so invades. And what's going to happen? Brothers and sisters, you know what we're supposed to be mindful of? The judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
How are you going to do when you meet your Lord? I'm not worried about whether you meet old, you know, for years, you can look down through history. And that old saying, people who won't learn from history, don't even repeat it. There's been scares from the 70s, the 60s were scared of something, the 70s were scared. Why? Because it's always told that so-and-so is going to just about happen, so-and-so is going to happen. But you know what? All that is just another effort of the devil to get your mind off of anything but the fact that one of these days, y'all, you and me, we're going to meet Jesus Christ face to face.
Yeah.
You're going to look him in the eye, and guess what the Bible said? Every man will give an account. That's saved people. That's what gets me. Look, I'm saved. My sins, washed in the blood, gone. But of the things you did in the body, whether they be good or bad. I tell you something, that's what I want to get y'all prepared. A good socket will hold forth the things of eternal life and say, hey, don't forget, there's something after this.
Yeah.
Don't forget, one day you're going to have to throw those things in the fire and see whether it's going to be gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
And sit there and watch your earthly life burn up. I wouldn't be much of a preacher. I wouldn't be much of a socket trying to hold y'all up if I didn't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being told. Why? Earthly, You get on that television, man. It's getting so bad you can't hardly watch nothing, man. It's getting why everything selfie this, selfie that, and it's pictures and pictures. I'll tell you something. That is not holding forth the things of a. That's not being a good socket.
Amen.
What kind of tabernacle would be if they wouldn't holding up? The sockets wouldn't holding up. You know what? People aren't looking for. Man, how can I invest in eternity? You know how you invest in eternity? You yield your body to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you believe what that book says. And that's how you put up. And I tell you this, I'm going to have to stand one of these days and give an account for these messages I'm preaching. Now, you know what? I don't want to meet the Lord and say, why'd you stop fighting? What come along that you stop fighting a good fight of faith and stop laying a hold on eternal life? The minute you stop fighting in life, you know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They've quit fighting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you something about fighting. You get tired. Fighting make you tired, man. It's called a fight for a reason. You get out there and you get to fighting things, man. You start losing wind, losing breath. Your muscles get tired and stuff like that. And you know what happens? When you first, if you watch very much boxing, those boxers that come in that ring, they got their arms up like this. You ever seen them? After a little while, because Paul said, hey, I'm not going to fight as one beat there. So he said, you won't study the fight and the good fight of faith. You can look at boxing a little bit. You know what happens? They get winded. They drop them fists. You got your hands down like this right here, and then before long, they got out there and they're trying. You know what you need to do? You need to get a little rest. You need to go back to the ring over there and sit down a minute. Get you a drink of water from the Bible and rest a minute. And you know what happens? You watch that boxing match and somebody, they'll have a coach whispering stuff in their ear. There's all kind of noise going on in that place. He's got to be where he's focused to hear what his coach and his trainer said he needs to do next. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They're not taking time out to go to the rink, go to the side over there for a minute, get them a drink of water, and get the wounds healed up. Why? You got the balm of Gilead. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of you if you would take a little bit of time and go let Him wipe you down a little bit and go let Him, guess what? The Holy Spirit speaks oftentimes in a still small voice. It's all kind of noise going on in the arena. But you got to take time out to listen.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to drop them and you're not going to know what to do next. You know why there's so many Christians in the world, all this stuff going, all this noise going, it's just noise, noise, noise. And you know what they've done? They dropped them fists and they said, I can just fight this. I don't even have to go take a break. Yeah, you're going to get so tired, you're going to stop holding up. You're going to forget that we got eternity to live. and what joy is coming next. Man, this day is getting, man, all this stuff's getting bad. Yeah, but what joy is coming? Man, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Man, we forget the joy that's coming. Y'all, if you could just take a little glimpse, just a little peek into your immediate future that's not too far away. Say, what if I live another 60 years? That's not far. If we're here another 60 years, it's not far. Look, your immediate future that's coming up pretty short is in glory with the Lord.
Amen.
Keep fighting, man. Stay in the ring a little while longer. Let the Holy Spirit keep that socket holding for a little while. I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm almost finished. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you hold those sound words? Titus chapter 1 verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Sound word. You got to hold. If we're going to be a good socket, we got to hold those sound words. We're going to be a good socket. We got to hold that faithful word. You know what our job is to do? Just keep holding that Bible up.
Amen.
As the world gets to where it's rejecting it more and more, the world's getting to where they don't like Christians more and more. You just keep, just say, hey, I'm a socket in this tabernacle, and if I can't do anything else, if I can't do nothing else, I'm gonna hold my Bible up and say, this is what I'm going by. Now, I may not understand it all. I may have to look some words up in the dictionary and things like that. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick right here by this. As the world goes crazy and they don't know what instructions to follow, one said this, the other said this, we'll just follow this right here. And I'll tell you something. You won't go wrong. You'll be a good socket. Yeah, you got the atonement. At one moment with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to hold this right here up if I can't hold. Bible says, holding forth the word of life. Yes. Keep holding that thing up while we're getting one day close. You know what I love about today? I'm about to go home, Lord willing, get in my bed, go to sleep. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And guess what? I'm going to be one day closer to seeing my Lord.
Amen.
Man, that gets me excited.
Amen.
We're going to close out. Brother Tom, if you would, close us out.